שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי רבש, כרך ב',
Hello, we're reading from Rabash, second volume. What is a flood of water in the work? Continuing with Beha'amur Navin. It's page 803 in the Hebrew book. There is no translated English text. Readings of Rabash, second volume, page 803, article What is a flood of water in the work? First column, continuing with Beha'amur Navin. By this we understand. By this we understand the matter of the three lines that the Zohar speaks of, three aspects, three bechinot. One, sweet waters, and the what it stands against sanctity is the bitter water. It is known that right is considered wholeness, as written in the article of Baal HaSalam from the year 1943, that a person has to believe above reason that he is whole. And what corresponds to the wholeness, what stands against wholeness, is the Sitra Acha comes and shows him all the deficiencies, how he is not walking on the path of the Creator, and makes the person fall into a state of sadness, so much so that the person then wants to escape the battle and just wants to kill time, and he sees everything as black. Two, the left line. This is in a time that one wants to self-scrutinize within prison and to see how indeed he is according to his own eyes, whether he is whole or has some lack, some shortcoming. And since he prepared himself to this scrutiny by shifting to the left line, it is because he now wants to pray to the Creator to help him to love the Creator with mind, with heart and soul. This is called pure water, because here, or clear water, here there's no waste or mingling. Rather, he wants to see a place where he can pray to the Creator. Whereas what stands against sanctity comes in claims and lets him understand that he is completely okay, fine, and has nothing to pray over. This is called murky waters, because clear or transparent means that there are no minglings here, meaning that he sees the truth the way he sees it, according to his reason and his mind, and he sees that he's wrong. And he has the strength and desire to pray to the Creator to help him, that he would merit loving the Creator as written in all your hearts. That then comes what stands against sanctity and mingles a lie there, and tells him that he is okay as loving and has nothing to pray over. It follows that this is the murky waters, which mixes also the lie by what they say, that they are fine and have nothing to pray over. Similarly, we should interpret what the Zohar says, that there is peaceful water and there is dispute water, which is the secret of sanctity, and what stands against it in the middle line. Because the rule is that the middle line is the merging of the two lines. And since the right line of sanctity is wholeness, above reason, and the left line is called the fact that he sees within reason that he is unwhole, rather to the opposite, he is full of deficiencies. Therefore, the middle line is built from two lines, meaning that one cannot go above reason before he has reason that shows him the state, the way that it appears to his eyes within reason. Then it is relevant to say that one is not looking at what his mind obligates him to do, rather he's going above reason. Rather he believes in the faith of the sages, whatever the sages tell him, and does not use his own mind. Whereas, if he doesn't have a mind or a reason to tell him something, it's not relevant to say that he's going above reason. Therefore, the middle line is called peace, since it needs the two lines, meaning by the fact that it has two opposite lines, and it needs both of them. And why is this called peace? And we have to explain that at the time that he has both lines together, then he has the right to raise the right line over the left line, as written in the Zohar, which means that the line of wholeness, which is built on above reason, should be above the left line. By this, we acquire a desire for the love of the Creator. And this is the remedy of above reason. As Baal HaSulam said when he said that the fact that the Creator wants us to work for Him above reason, the Creator chose that way, since this is the better way, the most successful ones, for the creatures to merit dvekut, adhesion. And then they merit peace. As written in Psalms, I shall listen to what the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people and to His chassidim, and one should not fall back into foolishness. It follows that the integration of the two lines is called peace, and this is the middle line in sanctity. Whereas in the against sanctity, in opposite sanctity, it is called dispute waters, because they extended over them those that they were should not have extended, which is called dispute waters, and they were defiled by that. Meaning, what stands against sanctity lifted the upper line over the right line. Meaning, they were saying exactly the opposite of sanctity. The path of sanctity, what we need inside reason, that objects to what the above reason says, is that you need to use and work with the left line. And the reason is not that they want to go on the left line and listen to it. Rather, to the opposite, they need to use and engage with reason in order to have room to go above reason. And what did those who stand against sanctity do? They extended the left line so it would rule over the right line, meaning walking within reason. And this is truly impurity. Purity in the work is called the stupidity of the heart, meaning that the will to receive blocks the heart, so that sanctity cannot enter the heart because of change of disparity of form. And by this, a dispute happens with the Lord. Why does the Creator not give them the good and delight? And this is the opposite of peace. Therefore, we need to try and go with faith above reason.
The Creator created the desire to receive. This is known, yes? And the creature needs to keep this. If he disparages the desire to receive, which is constantly developing in him, he has nothing to rely on. He has nothing to build his self-construction. Therefore, the desire to receive exists, and as we see from our development, that first of all, the desire to receive is developed in our root, in the four phases of direct light. And only after he comes to self-understanding, to self-awareness, from trying to get to know himself, to realize he has inside of him all sorts of discernments, states that he does not control, that are not understood to him, how he can feel his desire to receive, how he can be certain that he's going to feel his desire to receive in the present and the future, and that he has this sensation of past, present, and future. According to this, he has a feeling of me and the environment, the mutual dependency, and so forth. In the end, he comes to a state that he's despaired from filling himself in the way that he developed, in the natural manner. He sees that nature brings him to the recognition of evil. That it's bad for him in life, and he sees that he cannot be in a perfect manner. For him to be whole and perfect is to be filled without stop, without any end to it. Because for him, there's a deficiency, and a lack of deficiency, he doesn't feel the filling. Because these two things have to be sustained against each other. For here they filled each other, and here he's in confusion, he's in a destruction, in a crisis, and there's something that he doesn't know what to do with himself. It could be that he has everything, and according to his eyes and his feeling, his inner sensation, he has nothing. He feels himself as much as he develops in less and less an ability to enjoy. And because the Creator, all his essence is the desire to give pleasure, then what comes out that he's in a more and more empty state. Until, on one hand, he develops and understands his states, and it's as if he reached the implementation of all his abilities, both inner and outer, all sorts of conditions that he uses, and sees that there's no ability to fill himself in a way that he will be happy. Each and every one, of course, has a different type of happiness, but each time compared to that same desire to receive. And then he starts to understand that he can be, or it could be that his filling is not in him filling himself inside, within his desire to receive, so that the filling will be felt. But in order for the desire to receive to be filled, and the sensation of filling won't end, then we must separate and distance wherever the filling is and where the filling is felt. In the example, like if there's a person I love, then I'm willing to give him everything, and as much as I go and give, I enjoy more, even though the pleasure is in me and the fulfillment from his action in him. What comes out is there is an action and there's the filling as a result, and both are in two different places, and the connection between them is love. And then we can fill even everyone in accordance with our attitude of love towards them in an unlimited manner, and receive pleasure from love, unlimited. And here there are two possibilities. Either the act of fulfillment that we do in the other is in order to reach the pleasure, that action too is already in the right direction, and it's called lo lishma, not for her sake, in which it's the right action and the right and the intention not. And if one comes to the recognition that there must be here a disconnect between the action and the intention, so they will be opposite? Then, this is where there must be the correction of creation. And the correction of creation a person cannot do on his own, because he himself is all in all a creature, the creation itself. And then he needs to discover the force which rules the creation. Why does he need it? Not in order to enjoy from it or get pleasure from it, but so that this force will change for him his intention. And then it happens to him. Really, in such a way, he starts to discover the upper force. He separates between the action and the intention for him. And from Lolishma, he comes to Lishma. All these actions are all in all what the wisdom of Kabbalah is telling us about. This is the wisdom about changing the attitude towards the desire to receive and for the intention on how in how he works. What remains here to scrutinize is only one thing. What is love? If I, through this sensation, begin to start feeling the other like I feel myself, and even more, as it's written, that then bestowal to the other needs to be before the bestowal to himself, just as he thinks now about himself first. Then what is it called that I'm bestowing to the other? Am I really bestowing already to a desire that's closer to me than my desire? It's as if more my desire than my own is. So is this called that I'm bestowing? And not filling myself? Therefore, what comes here is the process, a very special process, which is called the three lines. That although one rises above love, self-love, and comes to love of others, in this definition of love of others, we're not relating to the desire to receive in a direct manner. Rather, we relate to it in the middle line. This means that the gap, the initial gap between him and the other must remain and even grow more and more. And above this gap, one builds the connection. So the whole sensation of the gap and the sensation of the connection will not turn each other off, but actually between them, in the right combination between the two, the true added relation towards the desire that the Creator created is revealed. It's not a it doesn't matter if it's his or it's the others, and now that it's felt differently, that this approach is called the middle line. But this comes from the reforming light.
Carlos from Brazil is asking how to raise the right line over the left line. And from Ashkelon, they're also asking, what is the right line? Tell the left line corresponding against his complaints, his claims over receiving to itself.
Well, we must talk in words that we understand and how we understand it. Here the language is, if there's no feeling again, towards this language, then it's a problem. To raise the right on the left is called that I'm trying to be in bestowal, although I'm in it in an imbalanced manner. That I'm doing it with force. That I'm rising. Let's say there's someone that I hate. He did all sorts of bad things to me. He's full of pride. He thinks that he can succeed in his ego, in his ability to execute all kinds of things. He disrespects me. He harms my ego, you know, hurts my ego and my pride in all sorts of ways. He's really, I feel bad from him. This now is a given. What do I do with it? As much as I'm capable not to take this into account and to say that love will cover all transgressions, and let's say it was my son that would do it this way, how would I relate to him? And then I need to search for examples that are really from life, to not be all foggy from this in theory, but to truly connect myself towards life. And then, in accordance, I start behaving. Especially, maybe I allow him to be around me. Onwards, maybe I help him in all sorts of incidences. And each time it's difficult for me, and these are great big calculations. How much am I capable to relate to this person as if I were to love him? As if. That's called that I am, let's say, for the time being, it's not for every place. This is called that I'm trying to rule the right line over the left line. Still two lines, not a middle line, not completion. The completion comes from the special light from above, which really builds a new kli, a new vessel. Here there's still not a new kli, but two forces that are opposed to each other, which I try to work with. Well, there are many more examples, I'm sure, but that's how it came to me. Just that. Yes.
A friend from Rishon LeZion is asking, what does it mean to work for the Creator above reason?
To work above the Creator, above reason, is very difficult. Because first of all, you need to be in reason, in knowledge of what the Creator is, meaning He's revealed. Revealed that there's none else besides Him, that He's good and benevolent, that He controls you in all the discernments there are. And You have to raise yourself above all these bits of knowledge, which is called Da'at, above that, which is called reason, above that, and then to work him in order to bestow in adhesion and being like him as if you don't know anything about him. Then it is called that you're going to bestow to him and not to yourself. This action is called restriction.
Ran from Japan is asking, why is God great?
That's what they say. God is great. Why great? Because he rules over me. That's this, how simple it is. What does it mean, great in my eyes?
And also from Toronto, from Canada, asking, how does the Creator reveal his greatness towards me, us?
Through hurricanes, let's say. Through control, through governing. Where does that receive? What else? Only through ruling. How do you discover this towards the other? I want him to see that he is great. Yes, Gershon? So how? So I arrange all kinds of things so he will see how much I'm controlling him. Controlling him. How much he depends on me. That's called greatness. Towards the desire to receive.
Yeah. Joseph from San Francisco is asking, if our will to receive is what pushes us forward, how can we raise the prayer that will have the force to work with other rewards? How can we come to this through our own forces and not through blows?
But this is the whole matter, that we need to receive from above an ability that we don't know yet, the ability to be above the desire to receive. That's called the miracle of Exodus of Egypt. The miracle of rising above the desire to receive.
He's asking, can we reach that without blows?
It depends what you call blows. If I understand that in unpleasant manners I acquire a greater thing by several multitudes than those things that are unpleasant, then it's not called blows. It's called healing or remedy. That's the difference between the serpent who gives a snake bite or that heals.
We'll move on to the next part of the lesson from the Zohar.